kids watching their dad, like, you know, die. So, like, I don't know. Like, I'm still kind of, like, going through a lot from it right now. Like, I could barely sleep last night.
It's the kind of experience no one should have to go through, let alone someone so young. Coming face to face with the brutal reality of gun violence. Another GTA neighborhood rocked by the fatal consequences. Good evening. The victim was found by a teenager, and in just a moment, you'll hear his account of what happened in his own words. It's a story you'll only see here.
Both harrowing and heartbreaking, the circumstances devastating to several Mississauga families. CTV's Andrew Brennan has the details.
A family grieves the loss of a husband, father, a brother. And a teenager who tried to save him says he kept trying until paramedics arrived.
I tried to stop as much bleeding as I could. I tried to help him as much as I could.
The teen's mother did not want her son on camera for his safety. He says he heard the gunshots and found his neighbor, the father of his friend, in the alleyway between the rows of houses.
I flipped him over and I seen who it was. Like, I started freaking out.
He says he tried to cover the bullet wounds on the man's body to stop the bleeding and rush to get the man's wife and children to help. But he says he didn't feel a pulse, and the paramedics, when they arrived, told him the man had succumbed to his injuries. The death has left scars on the family and himself.
Little kids watching their dad dies. I'm still kind of like going through a lot.
Neighbors in the complex say the gunshots were swift and powerful, like a string of fireworks.
I fell off the bed, scared, ran to my sister's room and told them I heard some shots.
The property manager says the man and his wife were among his best tenants and on the co-op board.
He was very nice, very cooperative, very frank.
Residents of the complex say there has been an increase in violence in the area in what had been a safe community.
You don't deserve to lose your life. You don't deserve to leave this world when it wasn't your time.
But for the friends and family, it will take more than time to heal from a loss this deep.
And that was CTV's Andrew Brennan. Next to the horror on the highway that will make every driver shudder, a shovel coming straight through the windshield of this vehicle at full highway speed. Tonight, CTV News is speaking exclusively with a motorist who escaped catastrophe by centimeters. Just put yourself in that scenario, the woman behind the wheel with absolutely no time to react.
The drama playing out in the middle of the day on the busy 403 in Mississauga. Needless to say, the driver is lucky. CTV Scott Lightfoot is live with this story. Scott.
Well, Nathan, Kamal Syed tells this story with a laugh as she recounts it, but it was anything but funny when it happened to her earlier this week. A very, very close call, and one that she hopes will be a warning to other drivers before they take the highway.
I went on the 403 from Winston Churchill. I just had two exits to take.
It was supposed to be an easy 15-minute drive for Kamal Syed heading to an appointment on Monday morning. She remembers slowing down as a car pulled into the lane in front of her.
And its bumper started moving, and I was like, okay, it seems like its bumper's coming off. And next thing I hear a crash.
That crash not caused by a bumper, but by a shovel flying through her windshield.
I honestly don't know where the shovel came from because from what I recall, the bumper was moving and the bumper seemed to be flying off, but it wasn't. Eventually, what was in my car was the shovel.
So it says she managed to stay calm.
My head turned, I saw this shovel in my windscreen and I realized that, okay, this is pretty big. And somehow, I don't know how, but somehow I mean, I obviously screamed and I must have panicked, but I managed to stay calm because I didn't swerve, luckily.
So I had pulled to the side of the road and surveyed the damage as seen in this video she took. She was covered in glass, but otherwise unhurt. It wasn't until much later that she realized just how different the incident could have been if the shovel had hit the windshield in a different place.
The next day when I shared it and I was like repeating what happened, that's when it hit me that, wow, this could have, like, it could have been anywhere.
Syed says she has a message for other highway drivers in the hopes others won't have to go through what she has.
If someone is going to go on the highway with tools or equipment, please make sure it's secured properly because this is just, like, it's just so scary.
And police had tweeted a photo of her vehicle with the shovel through it as a warning to drivers to be careful. Said it says police asked her if she got a plate number, was able to identify the car. She said she couldn't because she really was just looking at that bumper. She didn't know anything was really wrong until she realized the shovel had gone through the windshield. She also says that she went back out the next morning and drove that exact route the exact same time, making sure she could do it, not letting fear get the best of her. Reporting live in Mississauga, I'm Scott Lightfoot. Pauline, back to you.
Thank you, Scott. It's a story that got a lot of you talking, and we heard about it. CTV News investigates complaints when it comes to parking tickets and the process of either paying or fighting back.
Figures show the number of tickets issued are way up as the pandemic winds down, and that's leading to more of them being disputed, too. CTV's John Woodward was contacted by two viewers with complaints that authorities gave them the runaround, John.
Yeah, Nathan, we got a lot of response to the story yesterday. That was about a man fighting a real ticket that was based on a bogus sign. Some of those who got in touch today are talking about the tight deadlines that most drivers have to follow to deal with a ticket. Deadlines they say they would have made were it not for delays from city officials.
The city of Vaughan says this black and white photo shows Yusuf Mika was stopping where he shouldn't have been. Mika says he was still driving.
I tried to pull in, I saw do not park, and I kept proceeding. So it did not make sense to me.
So he wanted to appeal with his lawyer, Michael Pilecci, who emailed the city to get a screening date. He says the city didn't accept the email, even though that's one of the ways the ticket says you can start a dispute.
It was just a constant runaround story. We preferred it this way, we wanted it this way. I don't understand.
The city disagrees, saying at no time was the inquirer advised that email responses were not allowed, but instead were directed to the appropriate mechanisms to dispute the ticket. Either way, the clock kept ticking. Then Mika ran out of time. He's got to pay.
Email doesn't work, and they have it in the back of the ticket. So you can send an email to appeal your ticket, and they send an email back, oh no, you cannot do that. So why would you have it in your ticket?
Over in Toronto, Ryan Bonner admits it was a mistake when a member of his family parked at the St. Clair lot earlier this year, but he's owning up to it.
We did something wrong. We have to pay a fine. We will pay that fine. Here's our money.
But paying that fine was harder than he thought. He tried repeatedly through Toronto's payment system, which didn't accept it, saying we are not able to fine that parking violation, and then stuck him with a $12 late fee. He'd left it in the rearview mirror, but then this month it happened again.
Multiple times with both tickets, we were told that the tickets in question were not on file. They weren't in the system.
Now, most of those tickets that are written are by Toronto police. They're able to upload them automatically. Bonner's ticket was handwritten. There's a delay there, but city official told us today that that he'll have until June 30th. All these little fees add up to big bucks, about 1.5 million parking tickets written in 2021, adding up to a total of $90 million. That's 10 more million dollars than was expected. People in this story trying not to add more than they deserve to that total. Reporting live, I'm John Woodward. Pauline, back to you.
Thanks, John. And we want to hear from you. If there are stories you want us to look into, here are some ways to reach us. You can call 416-384-6397 or send an email to investigate@ctv.ca. You can also visit our website for other secure and anonymous options. That's at ctvnewstoronto.ca/investigates.
Straight ahead, how to fight rising food costs as inflation skyrockets. Money-saving tips to cut down grocery bills and keep more cash in your pocket.
And let's take a look outside. Oh, and a beautiful, absolutely beautiful evening across the GTA. Still feeling a lot like a summer's evening, but perhaps a little more comfortable than earlier in the week. Michelle Jobin is here now with a live look at the current conditions. Michelle?
Well, yes, Pauline, you're absolutely right, because we had two consecutive days to kick off summer with temperatures around 35 degrees Celsius, and Humidex values got as high as 44 at Pearson Airport. Still summer-like today, but very different. Lots of sunshine, not a lot happening on our satellite and radar imagery. Our flow of air is different than it was previously. It's out of the northwest. That's a bit of a fresher feel. 17 kilometers an hour sustained, 31 kilometer an hour gust. So with our temperatures in the high 20s, that's quite nice. That's quite refreshing. The other thing we don't have is that influx of humidity. However, things are going to change a little bit as we get into the weekend. We got to 28 today. Right now we're at 26 at the islands, 27 feeling like 28 at Pearson, a very comfortable 16 overnight tonight. I'll have your full 7-day forecast coming up. Back to you, Pauline.
Thanks, Michelle. Road closures are still in effect near Yonge and the 401 this evening after a communications tower caught fire. There were concerns the structure could collapse, so police closed the westbound collector lanes from Leslie for much of the day. Yonge Street was also closed in the area, but traffic is now moving in the southbound lanes. So far, there's no word on what caused the fire.
A top official with the Bank of Canada says soaring inflation is a major concern and one that they're committed to tackling.
No, inflation is keeping Canadians up at night. It's keeping us up at night. And we will not rest easy until we get it back down to target.
Carolyn Rogers says the 7.7% gain in the cost of living last month was unwelcome, but not entirely unexpected. She said the central bank will keep hiking interest rates aggressively to tamp down on inflation. Some economists expect the bank will raise interest by 75 basis points at the next update in July.
And the rising cost of just about everything is top of mind for so many families right now.
Looking to stretch your dollar further at places like the grocery store. CTV's Sean Lethong is live with more. Sean.
Well, Nathan and Pauline, I spoke to someone who does extreme couponing today, and she acknowledged that it can be an anxious experience these days for anybody going into the grocery store. But she says what may help most is not to just wander through the store like you may usually do, but to pay attention because many of the deals that you need are already there. When walking through a grocery store with extreme couponer Kathleen Cassidy, she says that fighting inflation can be right under your nose.
So you can see here, hidden in the corner, there's some coupons.
Cassidy is the founder of Living on a Loonie. Through TikTok and Instagram, she has over 400,000 followers looking to save.
I think more Canadians now are looking to put that time and effort into saving money because it's really starting to hit them hard.
And on this walk through a real Canadian superstore, she shows us that deals are just waiting to be found.
So you can grab this $7 off coupon right on the shelf and then just take it over to the coffee section. Right here, they have coffee on sale for $14.49. And you can use the $7 off coupon, so that makes it almost 50% off.
She says one effective way to save is by price matching, as a number of retailers will match a sale from another store.
And looking at the actual price tags themselves tell you how much you're paying per unit, so that's a great way to compare in store.
So here you can see you're paying $1.25 approximately for the big one, and for the same one, just for the smaller packaging, you're paying $2 and about 37 cents, so over a dollar more just for the smaller packaging.
For long-term savings, Cassidy points to cashback apps like Checkout 51 and loyalty programs like PC Optimum as effective tools.
So here we have an offer for PC Optimum points. For every $10 you spend, you'll get $2 back in PC Optimum points just by scanning your card.
And most important of all,
I think the number one thing is looking at where you're shopping.
She says that knowing each grocery store well can point you in the right direction, helping to push back against inflation. And all these small savings do add up. Kathleen Cassidy says that at the end of the week, usually her food budget for her and her husband is only about $100. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Nathan, I'll send it back to you.
All right. Thank you, Sean. A new survey suggests affordability challenges in the present are making it harder for Canadians to save for retirement. The Healthcare of Ontario Pension Plan and Abacus data poll found 55% of adults are concerned about having enough money to survive in retirement. 75% of Canadians agree there's an emerging retirement crisis, and 72% say they feel saving money is just too expensive. While saving for retirement was found to be a high priority, only 32% of people say they've got the money on hand to save.
Meanwhile, the housing market may be cooling off a little bit, but the affordability crisis is forcing many Canadian renters to put their dreams of home ownership on hold. A poll from Canada Life found 45% of renters expect to remain tenants indefinitely. 17% said they expect to never buy a home. The top concerns cited were high home prices, lack of money for a down payment, and not having enough income to qualify for a mortgage.
I feel like I am already part of that study. I'm not, I don't see in my foreseeable future to be able to afford a down payment, and it keeps it increasing and increasing.
I wanted to buy a condo, but it's very expensive, very expensive.
I think I wouldn't be where I am without my parents' help, to be honest with you. And it is one of those things, like if you're renting, you're pretty much spending your money away. So I think it's very situational, but it's totally believable. And like, that's a lot for many people's cases.
This comes as a new report from the Federal Housing Agency says 3.5 million new homes need to be built by the year 2030 to reach affordability. The Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation projects at current rates, housing stock will increase by less than that, 2.3 million units. The agency says those new homes are needed most in Ontario and BC. Economists warn the target will be difficult to hit. We're gearing up for a very big day at Queen's Park tomorrow. After winning a second majority, Premier Doug Ford and his new cabinet will be sworn in.
But even before they get their new assignments, it seems they have the work cut out for them. CTV's Queen's Park reporter Siobhan Morris is live with more. Siobhan?
Now, Pauline, they're preparing for a big party tomorrow. Tonight, a little bit of a preview. PC MPPs are here being sworn in, but tomorrow, all the eyes will be on the chairs behind me. People looking to see who'll be in those front rows and who'll form the cabinet.
Outside Queen's Park, the music is being tested. Meters and meters of cables are being run. Chairs set out for hundreds of invited guests and MPPs. It's here in the bright summer sun, Premier Doug Ford will unveil his inner circle. With more faces from more corners of the province to choose from.
I'm learning the ropes. Just found out where the bathroom was.
Ford is expected to grow his cabinet.
Several different lines with respect to the vaccine rollout.
Christine Elliott's decision not to seek re-election leaves a big hole at the Ministry of Health. Her successor will oversee the province's largest portfolio and navigate Ontario out of the COVID-19 pandemic. The education post is also being watched closely. It's the job Stephen Lecce's been doing since 2019.
I will respect the decision of the Premier. I came back to Queen's Park to work for the people of my community and all Ontarians. Thank you so much.
Have you talked with him yet?
Not yet. Thank you so much.
The education minister will have a lot on their plate as unions start to sketch out their wish list for upcoming contract talks. The Union for School Support Staff, like custodians, early childhood educators, and librarians, wheeled 25,000 letters to the legislature today.
Calling for increased staffing in schools to guarantee that service improvements for students are in place for this September, as well as real wage increases above that of the rate of inflation.
CUPE says the average school support worker is paid just $39,000 a year.
They know that their wages have been suppressed by governments, and they are demanding better, and they're ready to fight for it.
Walton feels it would be premature to talk about the possibility of striking before negotiations start. She didn't share a specific number she thinks staff or wages need to increase by, but wants to have a more open dialogue with the re-elected government.
Ford came out and said, let's get it done. We're holding him to it. And that's going to take collaboration, whether they like it or not.
Something she didn't feel in the PC's first term.
The expectation is that Premier Ford will call cabinet ministers tonight to offer them their positions. There is a sense that there will be some protest here tomorrow. The Ontario Autism Coalition says they will be here between 10 and noon while the cabinet's being sworn in. Reporting live from Queen's Park, I'm Siobhan Morris. Nathan, back to you.
All right, thank you, Siobhan. Police in Durham region are sharing footage of an arrest made early this morning after an alleged theft from a construction site.
Officer, two officers there. He's right there in front of you there, yeah.
The police helicopter captured the moments as a suspect ran through backyards in a residential neighborhood near Bailey and Audley. The man can be seen jumping over several fences as officers close in and make an arrest. Police say a second suspect was arrested with a pickup truck containing stolen wood. The search continues for a third person.
A Toronto man is facing several charges after police say an explosive device was detonated at a mall in York Region. The alleged incident happened yesterday evening. York Regional Police say they were called to the food court at Upper Canada Mall around 6:45 p.m. where a homemade incendiary device had been detonated. There were no injuries reported. 19-year-old Michael Gatdula of Toronto has been charged with several offenses, including the use of explosives with intent, mischief endangering life, and weapons dangerous. Well, it's a major expansion of gun rights in the United States, the Supreme Court making it easier for people to carry handguns in public.
The historic ruling furthering fears among some over its potential ramifications. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us live with more on this story. Raheem.
Well, Nathan, it's been just over a month since the mass shooting in Buffalo. Tomorrow, it'll be 1 month since the mass shooting in Uvalde, Texas. And today's ruling underscores the deep divisions over the issue of gun control in America.
Have you shopped with us before?
Yes.
For more than a century, New York law has required residents to show they have a reason to get a license to carry a concealed handgun outside their home. Today, the U.S. Supreme Court struck that law down, saying it violates Americans' right to keep and bear arms, much to the delight of the gun industry.
We are not the problem. The problem is the criminals and the wrongdoers in the state. There wouldn't be a gun problem if it wasn't for the crime.
Justice Clarence Thomas explained the court's decision, writing, "The Constitution protects an individual's right to carry a handgun for self-defense outside the home."
This is an absolute disgrace!
Demonstrators gathered outside the Supreme Court building to protest a ruling that was split 6-3. A clear example of how the conservative majority on the highest court is sympathetic to expanding the Second Amendment.
This could place millions of New Yorkers in harm's way. And this is at a time when we're still mourning the loss of lives.
Last month, 21 people were killed when a teenager allegedly opened fire at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. A week before that, an alleged mass shooter opened fire at a Buffalo supermarket, killing 10 black people.
The decision ignores the shocking crisis of gun violence every day, engulfing not only New York, but engulfing our entire country.
This is the U.S. Supreme Court's first major gun decision in more than a decade, and it will affect at least a half dozen other states with similar laws.
U.S. President Joe Biden expressed his disappointment with the Supreme Court's ruling, saying it contradicts both common sense and the Constitution. He's now urging states to pass new laws to make their voices heard on gun safety. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Pauline, back to you.
Thanks, Raheem. On Capitol Hill, the hearings into the January 6th siege resumed today, and the focus was once again what the committee says were attempts by Donald Trump to overturn the 2020 election.
He had raised the question of having a special counsel for election fraud. At a number of points, he raised requests that I meet with his campaign counsel, Mr. Giuliani. At one point, he raised the whether the Justice Department would file a lawsuit in the Supreme Court.
Three Trump-era Justice Department officials testified this afternoon. One said the former U.S. president wanted them to essentially call the election corrupt. They described constant contact as a stark breach of protocol, but they insisted today that each demand was resisted.
AFN National Chief Roseanne Archibald is now threatening legal action. It follows allegations of bullying and harassment that led to her suspension. But during an exclusive interview on CTV's Power Play today, Archibald insisted that she's still on the job.
I am not a suspended national chief. I want to be clear about that. I am still the national chief of the Assembly of First Nations and will continue to be so until the chiefs and assembly tell me otherwise. So I definitely feel like there are regional chiefs who are perhaps they would like to have this position. I'm not clear on all of their motivations, but I can tell you that they are definitely, a couple of them are really behind this push that's happening to me right now.
The AFN says Archibald has been suspended pending the outcome of investigations into four complaints against her. She's calling for a forensic audit and independent inquiry into the conduct of the organization over the last 8 years.
Hockey Canada is pledging to make changes following concerns about its handling of a sexual assault case and subsequent out-of-court settlement. A statement today reads, Hockey Canada is deeply committed and actively working to foster a culture in which our sport, where everyone involved feels safe and of which all Canadians can feel proud. We recognize that as leaders, we need to do more, and we are committed to doing just that. Hockey Canada's federal funding was frozen days after two of its senior officials were grilled on Parliament Hill this week. A woman claimed she was assaulted by members of the World Junior Team in 2018.
The itinerary for next month's papal visit to Canada has been released. The move by the Vatican shows the Pope plans to go ahead with the trip despite problems with his knee. The visit begins July 24th and ends 5 days later on the 29th. The pontiff will start in Edmonton, followed by visits to Meskowicz, Lac Saint Anne, Quebec City, Saint Anne de Beaupré, and Iqaluit. He's scheduled to deliver 9 homilies and addresses and 2 masses. Pope Francis will have at least 5 meetings with indigenous people, including survivors of residential schools. He'll also visit the site of at least one of the former institutions. In April, the pontiff met with First Nations, Inuit, and Métis groups at the Vatican. He apologized for the church's role in residential schools. He's expected to do the same during his visit to Canada. The Canadian government is promising $250 million to combat the global food crisis.
The Prime Minister making the announcement on the sidelines of the Commonwealth Summit in Rwanda, where the day began at a sacred site. CTV's Kevin Gallagher reports.
In a solemn ceremony, the Prime Minister commemorated 800,000 people killed during the Rwandan genocide. Nearly 30 years ago, that horrific slaughter targeted the minority Tutsi population. But human rights organizations want Justin Trudeau to speak out against alleged violations happening in the country today.
I will, as always, continue to be frank and direct about how we need to make sure that we're continuing to support everyone's rights.
It's not clear when that will happen, though. The Prime Minister's scheduled one-on-one with Rwandan President Paul Kagame was postponed at the last minute. Once a rebel leader, Kagame has been in power for more than 20 years, despite accusations of fixing elections. Human Rights Watch says arbitrary detention, ill-treatment, and torture in official and unofficial detention facilities is commonplace to anyone who opposes his rule. Canada is opening a new high commission in Rwanda, where Trudeau says the conversation to improve basic freedoms and human rights will be ongoing.
Being there to provide solutions, to provide support, to strengthen institutions, to move forward in ways that actually make a difference.
The domestic scandal surrounding RCMP Commissioner Brenda Luckey also followed Trudeau here after allegations emerged this week that following Nova Scotia's mass shooting, Luckey promised the offices of the Prime Minister and Public Safety Minister that she would pressure the province's RCMP to give the public more information on the shooter and what weapons he used in an effort to help the Liberals push forward a gun ban.
We did not put any undue influence or pressure. It is extremely important to highlight that it is only the RCMP, it is only police that determine what and when to release information.
The Prime Minister says he still has confidence in the RCMP commissioner, but opposition parties are calling for an investigation.
We will bring witnesses to a committee, and we are prepared to do whatever it is required and what is possible to get to the truth.
As the Commonwealth Summit continues, Trudeau will attend a state dinner hosted by President Kagame tonight, though he would not say if this would be an occasion for him to object to Rwanda's spotty human rights record. Kevin Gallagher, CTV News, Kigali.
In Afghanistan, search and rescue operations have been completed in major regions following yesterday's earthquake, but they continue in some of the more distant areas. The quake killed 1,000 people in a remote part of the country near the Pakistan border, and aid began arriving today, but poor communications and a lack of proper roads are hampering relief efforts. About 1,500 people were injured in the quake that destroyed 3,000 homes.
Ukraine was formally accepted as a candidate for European Union membership today.
And it is overwhelmingly adopted.
The Europeans call it an historic moment. And Ukraine's president welcomed the news by saying his country's future is in the EU. But it's expected to be a decade or more before Ukraine meets the criteria for joining the 27-nation bloc. The republics of Moldova and Georgia are also official candidates. That happened today.
And later tonight, meet the local girl with her own cosmetics line at the ripe old age of 12. How she's helping a part of the community she feels is being underserved by the beauty industry.
And I'm Pat Foran. Coming up on Consumer Alert, with the price of gas still around $2 a liter, many drivers are doing what they can to save money. If your vehicle has the eco button, do you use it? And if you do, do you know if it actually works? We speak with an automotive expert. I'll have that story just ahead.
Clear skies and comfortable temperatures for the overnight period here in the GTA. 16 degrees will be our low here in the city of Toronto. Still a light wind out of the northwest, which is actually quite nice. Waking up to clear skies and then sunshine. Temperatures climbing into the upper 20s again. I'll tell you more about that in your full forecast.
Auto manufacturers created an option called Eco Mode, and it's on many newer vehicles, and it's supposed to make your car more fuel efficient.
When you push the button, it lights up. But what exactly is it doing, and are you really saving any money? Pat Foran finds out on Consumer Alert. Pat?
I do, Pauline and Nathan. Thank you. When your vehicle is in eco mode, it's supposed to restrict some of your car's power and give you slightly better fuel economy. We spoke with an automotive expert who says you will save money, but maybe not as much as you'd think you would.
With gas prices still hovering around $2 a liter, many drivers would like to squeeze more kilometers out of every tank. We asked those with vehicles that have the Eco button if they use it and if it helps them save money.
It's supposed to, so I don't know.
Maybe like more psychologically.
I know it's less power when you turn it on.
Automakers say by using Eco Mode, you sacrifice some of your car's power, which in turn gives you better fuel economy. To find out if that's true, we went to the Automotive Center of Excellence at Ontario Tech University in Oshawa. Here, students are learning ways to make vehicles more efficient.
It gives you feedback for the optimal speed and torque for the engine.
Professor Sheldon Williamson says auto manufacturers developed Eco Mode as a way to save fuel, but he says what automakers claim you're saving may not be as much as you actually are.
Different auto manufacturers claim 10 to 12%, but the real data really shows you more like 5 to 6%, at best 7% savings.
However, Williams says there is evidence that shows higher-end luxury cars may be more likely to reach the 12% savings threshold.
When it comes to the Eco button, it really depends on the make and model of your car because each auto manufacturer says their button saves gas differently.
CTV News reached out to Toyota Canada, which said its Eco Mode modifies engine and transmission behavior to offer better fuel economy. Stellantis said its Eco button adjusts response of the throttle pedal for a more gentle ramp up of RPM. And Honda Canada said its Eco option limits shifting behavior, reduces AC capacity, and reduces fuel injection to increase fuel efficiency. Williamson says the bottom line is the Eco button does work, but don't expect massive savings.
Definitely use it. It just makes sense. Why wouldn't you want to save like $10 on a $100 tank?
And if you have the Eco button, there is no harm in leaving it on all the time to save money on fuel. But if you're driving and want more power and responsiveness, you may want to shut it off. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
Well, for the first time, a bloodhound is top dog at Westminster.
The best in show winner is the bloodhound.
Bloodhound Trumpet goes best in show. Toot your own horn, Trumpet.
He beat six other finalists last night to win the most prestigious prize in the canine world. The Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show drew more than 3,000 purebreds this year. Today, Trumpet was treated to a steak lunch at Tavern on the Green in New York's Central Park. The goal of the annual dog show is to crown the competitor that most represents the ideal for its breed. Congratulations.
Pretty good lunch. Steak?
Yeah.
Anyway, for the forecast, it was hot the last few days. Mm-hmm. Almost unbearable, but today more comfortable, but still hot.
Almost un-Canadian. It's so hot.
I mean, you know, we had intense heat and humidity over the last couple of days, and then, of course, the cold front that went through yesterday. Some people saw thunderstorms. That helped to reduce our humidity, but we're still holding on to some of the heat that we've experienced with temperatures around the upper 20s. We had the sunshine today and relatively low humidity. And if you like that, there's more of it that is on the way because we have a few days of very nice, hot, sunny weather on the way. Weather is brought to you by Trane, the most reliable heating and cooling brand. It's hard to stop a Trane. So I want to take a look at the temperatures that we have right now. And this is also a temperature contour map where we can see sort of where the ridge of high pressure is building in, where the hottest air is. And that's still sort of concentrated off to the west of us, building in a little bit more again into northwestern Ontario. So we haven't had too much of a break in the heat, but, you know, getting to 28 today versus getting to 35 in the last couple of days does feel quite different. And our Humidex was still, I would say, around 31. Right now we're at 27, feeling like 28. And that breeze out of the northwest and behind the cold front has been different. But we have more humidity building in. And that is going to be increasingly a factor in the next few days, and as, especially as we get into Sunday. So I will show you that coming up in the 7-day forecast. But 16 degrees is where we're headed overnight. A more comfortable night yet again than we had earlier in the week. And tomorrow, it's still hot. It's still above seasonal normals for this time of the year. And we don't have a lot of humidity for tomorrow. So we're looking at a high of 29, feeling like 31, a UV index of 9, a very similar day to what we had today. And we're not seeing too much on the satellite and radar imagery. That system that we, that front that we went through yesterday, that system's still lingering a little bit on eastern Ontario, southern Quebec. So we had more cloud cover there and certainly some rainfall, but clear skies here in southern Ontario, in the GTA, and that will be the case as we get into tomorrow. As I mentioned, we have got surface high pressure and a ridge of high pressure building in the upper atmosphere, drawing up that hot, humid air in the next little while. So as I turn on our forecast radar, not a lot to show you, a bit of a disturbance passing off to the northwest of us, moving through cottage country a little bit. You could see a little more cloud cover as you get into tomorrow in eastern Ontario as well because of that. As we get into Saturday, lots of sunshine on the way as well. Lots happening around the city this weekend and in around the GTA, and of course, one of those being Pride Parade. So watch this. 29 for tomorrow, feeling like 31. 29, feeling like 36 for Saturday. Pride Parade, 37 will be our Humidex with a high of 30 and a chance of thunderstorms. So do be aware of that because we could have some unsettled weather. Stay with us here on CTV News Toronto. There's much more news and weather coming up after the break.
The countdown is on to contribute to an annual fundraiser for the Canadian Mental Health Association.
There is just 1 week until Ride Don't Hide wraps up, and you don't even need a bike to participate.
We're walking to this corner.
Throughout the month of June, the seniors at the Annex Retirement Home have been going on regular walks for health reasons and to raise money for Ride Don't Hide.
It's about bringing people together to raise money to support mental health and well-being in our communities. And it's really an opportunity for the participants to boost our own moods through movement and self-care.
And this group has many reasons to enjoy their neighborhood excursions.
When I walk, right, so I can look at all the, you know, the sky and the tree and the building or whatever. And then I can sing, you know, how the nature so amazing.
Everything we see, the flowers that change all the time, and the houses and the buildings, it's all interesting, you know.
So some people are riding bikes, committing to running or walking, dancing. I'm committing to meditation.
The idea is to do a healthy activity through the month for self-care while raising money for others.
So housing, food security, physical health, discrimination, and social isolation all have profound impacts on our mental health. And the services we offer at CMHA take these factors into account.
I think mental health is very important, and there's so many people that do suffer from it and really aren't aware of it. So something like this should, you know, really help.
So on the May long weekend, we did a craft and artwork and plant sale, and all the funds we raised went towards Ride Don't Hide.
And the Annex Group is encouraging everyone to visit cmhadonordrive.com for more information. U.S. health regulators have dealt a major blow to e-cigarette maker Juul. The Food and Drug Administration says the company must stop selling its vaping device and its tobacco and menthol-flavored cartridges. Those already on the market must be removed, but consumers are not restricted from having or using its products. The FDA says some of the biggest sellers, like Juul, may have played a disproportionate role in the rise in teen vaping.
The organizers of the Eurovision are doubling down, saying the next contest will not take place in Ukraine, despite the country's victory this year. Stefania, mama, mama, Stefania. Ukraine's Kalush Orchestra won the high-profile competition in May. The European Broadcasting Union said last week it wasn't feasible to host the 2023 contest in the country while it's at war. Both Ukraine and the UK pushed back, saying Ukraine can and should be allowed to host. The EBU today emphasized that the decision to relocate next year's show has already been made.
Taylor Swift is teasing the release of a new track tonight, but you might not want to dance to it. The singer recorded an original song for an upcoming drama mystery movie called Where the Crawdads Sing. It's based on a novel about a murder in the Deep South. It's out in July, while Taylor Swift's song Carolina drops tonight at midnight, and it's not the only new music on the way.
Charlie Puth will be releasing a new song at midnight alongside BTS member Jungkook. The track is called Left and Right, and the pair have been promoting it for a few weeks now. It's garnered a lot of attention from K-pop fans after BTS members announced plans to focus on more solo projects.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Last Man's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
I try to stop as much bleeding as I could. I try to help him as much as I could.
Updating our top stories, those words from a teenage boy who witnessed a shooting in Mississauga Wednesday evening that left the father of one of his friends dead. Residents of the co-op complex say there's been an increase in violence in what had been a safe community.
I managed to stay calm because I didn't swerve, luckily.
Terrifying moments for motorists on the 403 this week when a shovel went through her windshield at full highway speed. Kamal Syed was left covered in glass but otherwise unhurt. The OPP say the outcome could have been much worse and drivers should always secure their cargo.
I will respect the decision of the Premier. I came back to Queen's Park to work for the people of my community and all interns.
And 3 weeks after the Progressive Conservatives won a new majority government, Premier Doug Ford will unveil his updated cabinet tomorrow. The health and education files are set to be a major focus, as it's expected the Premier will increase the number of ministers given portfolios.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar fell 24 basis points to 77.02 US. American benchmark oil dropped $1.92 a barrel to 104.27. And the TSX Composite Index lost nearly 287 points to close at 18,717.
The Canadian Transportation Agency's announced new regulations aimed at protecting passengers whose flights are delayed or canceled. Starting September 8th, carriers will have to either refund or rebook passengers if a flight is canceled or significantly delayed. That's an expansion of earlier rules, which only required refunds for disruptions that were within the airline's control. Consumer advocates say the rules provide an easy out, since carriers can still offer a new reservation within 48 hours. Airlines are already fighting the existing regulations launched in 2019. Meanwhile, Toronto Pearson Airport has installed new technology to help process arriving travelers. Electronic gates are now in place to check documents and speed up the customs process. You can find details on how the e-gates work and where they're located on our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca.
Netflix is laying off hundreds of employees as it tries to chart a way forward following disappointing results. The streaming service lost subscribers in the first quarter for the first time in more than a decade. 150 staff members were laid off in May, and today a further 300 were given the axe. Netflix says the layoffs are aimed at cutting costs in response to slower revenue growth.
Digital voice assistants can sound like anyone, but Amazon is raising some eyebrows after a presentation unveiled an effort to make Alexa imitate users' dead relatives.
Alexa, can Grandma finish reading me The Wizard of Oz?
Okay. But how about my courage? Asked the lion anxiously.
Amazon says artificial intelligence can't eliminate the pain of loss, but it can help make memories last. The company didn't share details on a potential rollout, which is expected to spark debates over ethics and privacy.
Tonight we'll look at a powerful new platform for medical research.
We have some of the best scientific minds working on this problem.
A Canadian database for brain disorders, crucial data that can be shared right around the world. That's later on CTV National News.
Accepting the status quo is not in Soraya Morgan's makeup.
When the 12-year-old Brampton resident realized she was having an allergic reaction to her mother's makeup, she decided to launch her own line of cosmetics for people with sensitive skin. CTV's multimedia journalist Corey Baird has that story.
I started wanting to create a cosmetic line when I was 11.
She has always loved makeup.
Growing up, I had issues with my skin. I have sensitive skin.
When she was younger, I would say I put her on a blanket, and her skin would just break out. She would have rashes all over her face.
So I decided, and I was thinking about other girls and women that had the same condition that I had and still do, and I was like, why not create a cosmetic line for girls and women with sensitive skin just like myself. This is the box. It's me. It says Aya Beauty. I have lip glosses. They're vegan. I have 5 colors right now. They're called Posh Pink, Glow Girl, Lavender Lush, Melanin, and Show Off.
I am extremely proud of her. Like, she's just always been a star, and I kept telling her that. She is a star.
I do have some of my teachers wearing them, which, even my teachers from my old school, too. It feels actually good. It's like, oh my gosh, that's my lip gloss.
And October will mark Morgan's 1-year anniversary as a preteen entrepreneur, so she plans on expanding her line of cosmetics to mark the occasion.
Wow. All right.
Amazing.
Great job. I know some people have baseball tonight, maybe football. What can they expect?
Well, clear skies tonight, a very comfortable overnight low of 16 degrees. So it's really going to be quite a lovely evening tonight. And tomorrow, very same as today, very similar, I should say. Just take a look at our 7-day forecast. 29 tomorrow, feeling like 31. Lots of sunshine, a little more humidity building in for the weekend.
All right. Thanks, Michelle. Be sure to join us later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
In the meantime, you can stay up to date by going to our website and watch breaking news all day on CP24.
For Michelle and all of us at CTV News, have a good night.
See you later.